You have to make the sound.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Monkey Business Podcast. Special day. Very special day. Wait, welcome Aiden. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you, Jan?
I'm very good, very good. Pleasant morning here in Portugal. It's been a very hot couple of days here. How? I know something the others don't know. I should ask, like, how's the weather? And how's the weather inside the server room?
The weather inside the server room, unfortunately, has been raining more than more than we've wanted it to. So yeah, no, had some interesting times recently. We've had Shopify at our bootcamp, and our server room had a leakage. So internet went down, was a disaster for like a good 24 hours. People coming in at midnight and working all night long trying to sort it out. But we're fine now. We're on our backup line. So I think, yeah, disaster averted. But the server room is very sad. It's still crying from all the rain.
Somebody must be very stressed out about you know all the technical water damage. Oof.
Yeah. No, I think someone's going to get yelled at. That server room is quite valuable, I think so.
To install water above the servers, that has to be like a remake, you know?
Yeah.
For the next time.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure someone like in the IT department is like, this is not happening again. We're not gonna have pipes go over the server, or you know, maybe install some sort of like some water drainage, you know, like you have on the outside of a house, just in case.
Maybe this is the answer to what's happening in Seattle sometimes, you know, at Valve servers as well.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Hmm. Actually, I think all things considered, Dota servers have been pretty good through time. Maybe it's not been suffering the same fate. But no, so what have you been doing, like, other than, you know, not having internet? What did you do on those days when, or that day, I guess, if it was only 24 hours?
Yeah, so we actually ended up going to, we played, like, some volleyball with Shopify.
Yeah.
We went to, like, this place that had, like, a pool, a couple of beach volleyball courts. I mean, we're terrible, like we're all gamers, but after like playing for an hour or so, we like kind of got the balls to have some motion. It was quite fun.
You could pass it to each other?
Yeah. And like we actually could play like an okay-ish game. In the beginning, it was just serves. Like you just serve it, you hit the field, you basically won.
You're in it.
Yeah.
Okay, now damn. Has that happened to you before where you went to a boot camp and like, it went to shit and like internet had issues and you couldn't really practice, couldn't really play? Not that it's like your entire bootcamp right now, but like, let's say
each
day is very valuable, for example, for TI bootcamp, right?
Yeah, like, for sure.
When that happens there, it's like you're full stress. Has that ever happened to you?
I think I've been quite fortunate, actually. I can't remember like a bootcamp situation being too messed up. I know hearing about your TI 10 bootcamp, I believe it was.
It was TI-9.
Okay.
Yeah. We had no people at midnight coming there, bro. They were like 3 days trying to phone, and then they come and it's like, don't touch the cable. I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah, exposed fiber cable.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I wish. So you've been lucky. Okay.
Yeah, I think in that regard, quite fortunate. No major issues.
Wasn't it TI-9? A lot of people went to China and they had really bad boot camps.
Yeah, I mean, we were, so Kelly, I was in Alliance at the time. So Kelly, like,
right.
Set up some stuff in China, and I remember we got there.
Oh, yeah, you went as well.
Yeah.
A lot of teams went, right?
Yeah. So we bootcamped there for about a month, I think, in Shanghai. Or no, two weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks. And then we were, like, at some hotel, and then we went to, like, some net cafe, and it was, like, a very Chinese net cafe where, like, it was
like if a boot camp is never good.
Yeah, it was interesting because you know, you really got the China experience full on, and then you like had food at their mall in their own food court. So it was a very, very full on China experience.
Wow. Okay. I mean, I've tried that before, but not for TI.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. Oh well. Oh well. But how are you otherwise, Aiden? How's life? How's
Life.
How are you?
I'm good. Life is good. I feel like, you know, when Dota is going well, then usually life feels pretty easy too. So, and...
Oh.
I mean, recently we've had quite good times compared to the past. So it's felt quite easy, quite relaxed, way less stressed than I feel like I was a few years ago. Just getting...
So losing is stressing you?
I used to.
Real competitor.
Yeah. Like crazy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So what do you think makes that change happen? You know, like you say that in the past there was more stress and now there's less.
I mean,
it comes with the winning and it comes with the Dota, but what part of the Dota is it? Is like, what part of the winning is it or not losing is it?
I guess the biggest thing for me is like not drafting anymore. Cause I think in the past when I used to draft, if there was like so much on my mind and I felt like so much responsibility for, you know, the outcome of the game. But now that like kind of Zai is doing it with Will, I can just focus more on being like good energy for the team, being a positive vibe, which I feel like sometimes is hard to balance when you're captaining a team, to like, you know, be harsh about like, we need to do this better, and also be like a positive presence, I guess.
It's so tough to be, you know, a leadership role, so tough to be captain. You have to have these two masks, two faces of all the time, and you sometimes have to wear them at the same time. I think every team goes through with that endlessly, you know, in every sport, team sport, I can only imagine. It's funny you say it. I mean, the way you phrase it, I think we phrased it very similarly also around TI10. And before TI10, I was struggling so much too with the same stuff, you know, and then when Misha came, it's like, yo, you guys, why you suck at laning? It's like, I'm like, yeah, okay. I realize, you know, same thing. A lot of the built up stress, built up pressure allows you to not be as good at everything, you know, and not be allowed to be as focused at everything. And yeah. So I can
relate.
I can relate. Yeah. So I think that's also like a good healthy change for yourself. So, but is it just that, or was it also the fact that you're winning now?
I mean, of course the winning helps. Like, I think, I mean,
why does it help?
I don't know. Why do you think it helps? I'm sure you can.
That's a good question. I think, I think an easy way to answer is, or easier way to find the answer is like, why do you play? Right.
Yeah.
What are you playing for?
Of course, play to win, man. That's what the goal is. Okay. Yeah,
but can you go deeper? Can you say, why do you want to win?
Why do you want to win? I mean, I think for me, at least, I've always been quite competitive ever since I was young. Like, even if, regardless of what the competition was, like, I like to compete in any sort of manner. And why do we as humans like to compete? I don't know. Maybe that's very ingrained in, you know, surviving.
I think it's also slightly individual. I mean, for some, maybe it's also the case for you that you just want to compete, you know nothing else. But I think for some, they're motivated by lots of factors, sometimes bigger, sometimes, you know, maybe smaller as well. But I don't know. For some people, it's probably more about, you know, the money, the security, the status, the dream. And for some, it could be also other stuff. It could be hating to lose and wanting to prove people wrong. It can be a big motivator for a lot, right? I think most people probably have a bit of it, right?
Yeah, I feel like I had that a lot when I was younger. I think nowadays it's like I've kind of moved away from it, because I know in the past I used to like carry a lot of, you know, I don't want to lose to this guy, or I don't want to lose to that guy, or, you know, like there's some degree of like, if it's someone I know, like I don't want to lose to Tommy, you know, like this kind of stuff. I think existed a lot for me when I was younger, but I think over the years, it's kind of like died off. I don't know if that's like I feel like the competitiveness has changed. It's less like about losing to someone and more about, you know, winning for myself. I think that's like kind of the biggest change that's happened over the years, where, I don't know. I just like it when I feel like, you know, I have a goal and I set it out and I try to accomplish it. I feel like that's like more satisfying to me than, you know, who you cross on the road to get there.
Yeah. I think it's maybe also a more mature thing, right? Like, hopefully in life we learned that it matters more what we have, not what they have,
or
what someone else has, right?
Yeah.
It's not about putting people down, but enjoying your time and enjoying yourself, right?
True.
I do think everything can be super powerful. I mean, I had this talk with most people that when we start talking about like drive and motivation and stuff, where it often turns into this like, at least for me, the more the better, you know, like the more that you can figure out that motivates you, I mean, the better it can be. It doesn't have, I don't think there's any necessarily unpure motivation, but I do think some things are maybe more pure by nature.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you can channel, I mean, you can probably take in everything, right? Like I've seen myself also like this hater energy, or like, having to win because you really want to prove somebody wrong, or like that thing we just spoke about, like, I want to put somebody down. Yeah, well, it could be anyone that beat me also several times, you know, like I think Kuro and Poppy, and especially after Secret, you know, like I play against him, I lose, I play with him, I'm not good enough. I'm like, if I lose now, I have to bury myself, you know, I cannot show my face anymore. So yeah. I had to show them as well that I know this game, you know, like I know. Yeah, yeah. It was also a lot about competence, I think, for me, like the competence, reward, feeling. Yeah, you know, the same thing as you said, right? You set a goal for yourself and once you achieve it, like many things come with it.
Yeah.
But I think the competence or like that feeling like, oh, I can set a goal and actually do it. That, yeah, that's nice, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I think competition is really cool in a way. I know I've talked to Sunil about this many times, but I feel like I cannot imagine like life without it at this point. It's just like when I think about, you know, because I'm getting older and, you know, if I'm going to retire, like what, how do you feel that like excitement of, you know, going to an event, playing in front of people and all this stuff? I feel like it's something that at least I'm not ready to say no to yet.
Yeah, dude, when you're not ready, you're not ready. You know, why would you stop the game when it's still at its best or when it's still fun for you?
Yeah. It's still enough.
You mentioned Sumail. Do you think he only played for the money?
Did he only play for the money? I think this man loves competing more than almost anyone. I think this whole money thing.
His answer was so stupid.
Yeah.
I think at this point, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's part of, I'm sure it's part of why he played or still plays. I don't know. But for sure, like I've asked him this so many times, you know, like that was just a stupid fucking answer. Like, why else do you play, you know?
Yeah,
he is super competitive. He's a competitor. Has nothing else.
No, for sure.
Yeah, play this Dota game.
I mean, I think he likes to say things that makes people laugh and makes people think he's interesting. So whatever, you know, it doesn't really matter if he really means it or not. If it's there in the moment and it makes people crack up, I think that's what's going to come out of his mouth.
Yeah. Who's the most competitive person you've met? Let's not count yourself.
I think Mickey, no doubt. Like this guy, I mean, every single game he plays, you know, like it doesn't matter if it's Rocket League, CSGO, FIFA, whatever, he's the best. Like I'd never met anyone like this. And, you know, a lot of people have like, we played with a lot of people and like everyone that you play with to some degree were like the best of their friends. And this guy is just like the best out of like everyone that I met across all games. Like, I know even our CSGO roster was like, yeah, this guy could play on our CS team. He's crazy good at pretty much everything. So,
okay. Damn.
Yeah.
He's focused, huh? He seems very focused and very disciplined. As well, I mean,
I don't know if he's either of those two things. I think he's neither disciplined nor focused. But I think when he's motivated to do something, he becomes the best at it.
I maybe got the ultimate best first impression.
Yeah. I mean, I know when he came to play with you guys, he was so psyched about it. So I'm sure that was like when he's motivated, he's extremely like dedicated and focused, like you say. But I think if you look at it on a more broad thing, I think he likes to do a lot
he's
of
an artist
things. Yeah, exactly. You can't force him.
No. I see. Okay. Yeah. Funny how that works, right? A lot of people are like that. They're so talented, they don't know what to do with it. And then, I mean, you played a bit with Anna, right? So
yeah, similar energy.
Yeah. Yeah, playing with Anna is it can be hard, you know. We had to get him up so many times in the morning. We had to like wake him up for practice and get him in his chair, and I had to pause the game to ask for his hero, you know, because no way I'm letting you play a hero without you saying it, you know.
Yeah,
it's the same thing like with the leadership stuff. That was my gentle approach back then. It's like, you name the hero that you're gonna play, you can give me three. Yeah, make me pick, but you're still gonna say it at the end.
Yeah.
And then when we lose, because you did fuck all, I'm gonna come to you and be like, yo, why did you do fuck all with your hero? What did you see when you said Ember Spirit? It's like, what do you see? Do you see anything? Like, let's go through it minute by minute. Yeah.
So you traumatized them. Because I know when we were in Riyadh, I was like asking him about heroes, and he's like, nah, you pick them. Whatever you want.
No, dude, that's why I asked him, because that's just a natural response that you always get. It's like, no, fuck you. Like, I'm not picking this, because after the game, you're going to ask me why I picked this hero. I'm like, bro, this is your hero. Take some, you know, you have to take charge, take responsibility.
Yeah.
And with Anna, and I mean, with Topias too, but Topias, it's not like I'm tricking a child because he sees through it. It's like, he knows what it's all about. With Anna, I felt like I was tricking a child, you know?
I see. Yeah.
Making him kind of run the course without him realizing.
Yeah. Anna was great. We had so much fun playing with him. I remember I thought he would be so shy. That was like my impression. Yeah. But then once you get to know him, he's such a clown. He's so fun to be around.
You just have to get him to talk. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that with so many people. Mm. Yeah. Oh, man. I had so many good moments with Anna. Aiden, I don't know if you've ever had the urgent need for any facial or other bodily hair care, but there's a product out there that I can highly recommend. I've personally used since they sent me their package. It's also for your package if needed.
Nice.
Yeah, it's Manscaped. It's a company that specializes in manscaping, I guess is the right term, right? I don't have a ton of body hair, but the little that I do, it's nice to have it trimmed smooth, effortlessly, and no hair nicking. So yeah, good product. I recommend. And if you want to try it, or if any of you watching want to try it, you can go to manscaped.com and use the OGMBS code to get 20% off and worldwide shipping. Okay, so I want to crack open, I guess, a bigger topic.
Sure.
The Battle Pass.
Yep.
What's your initial response, thoughts?
I mean, I feel like I'm usually really bad when it comes to like these big updates and what they mean for the bigger picture. That's like to be honest here. But I mean, initially...
Humble answer.
A humble answer, yeah. And then, but when I read it, I obviously felt like, damn, you know, like we missed our time and should have peaked sooner. And then like, you know, all the regrets about staying in Han, they came. It's like, should have maybe switched earlier. Because obviously, like I expect the prize pool to be much smaller, maybe between 5 to 10 million. Is something like on a good day. I'm not really sure, but that would be my guess. Which kind of sucks in a way, but I also like, who knows? Maybe Valve, because you know they make so much money off the Battle Pass, and I feel like they wouldn't want to say no to it. So hopefully, whatever they have in mind is a decent replacement, at least something that they would be happy with, and hopefully something that we can be happy with. But an initial impression was like kind of a blow to the gut or whatever. Yeah.
I see.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have two thoughts. One is definitely on the thing that you're talking about, like price pool no longer maybe going upwards, more like trending down.
Mm-hmm.
I would have hoped it to at least flatten out earlier. I do think it means a lot for like competitors and for competition. And I think naturally you're going to always look for something to replace. Like let's say we had a world championship or like the winner of something last year, we're going to want to replace that always with something that means equal or more.
Mm-hmm.
Going less means that you've solidified something that can no longer be overcome. I think that kind of kills the spirit of competition, right? Because we're always trying to push a boundary. So unless we're saying that we reached a wall or a ceiling, I think it kind of sucks, you know? So price pool, I think has been, you know, such a big thing and is like one of the biggest things. And I don't think it should be in a healthy, like in a much healthier scene.
Mm.
Like if things were more healthy financially and like the prospects were more stable, which will allow for more future planning, I think a lot of things could be much more beneficial monetarily too from a win, like from, you know, let's say the biggest win.
Yeah.
If it's executed well, same thing that you see in soccer and whatever, you know, you get a lot of personal endorsements, personal sponsorships, as well as the revenue, but it's also that the contracts that you're able to land in the future, that's where you make your money. It's not the prize pool from the World Cup or the Euro Cup.
Yeah.
So I wish, because Dota didn't really die down in popularity, as in, maybe it's not at the peak either, but it's definitely, it's a big wallet scene. You have a lot of people ready to spend money.
Mm.
You have a lot of people willing to go to tournaments. You have a lot of people willing to, who are still watching online.
Yeah.
It'll be very possible to run many multi-million dollar tournaments in Europe throughout a year. But sadly, you know, the state of the tournament organizers, Valve and everything, I think pieces are still falling into place, hopefully.
Yeah.
So that was like my first sentiment that it's not great for competition. And I do think that natural things are trying to fill the void now with Riyadh and so on. I don't think Dota will continue to be forever about TI if this continue, or like if it keeps trending down one or two more years, for sure. Yeah, so unless something else comes with TI, you know, it could be a lot of other things like access to other tournaments with great media exposure, which again could help, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Who knows what will come, but yeah, not great. Was also my first sentiment. Yeah. And yeah, my second thought is also with the blog post, they talk about, you know, Dota coming home and being a passion project. I hope they mean it, you know, like I wonder if they mean it. That's kind of my second thought. It's like, I wonder if they mean it. I do hope they mean it.
Yeah.
But it's only going to be 3 days in Key Arena. And, you know, then combined with this, it feels like it paints a different picture. And then there's also rumors of them making a new game and stuff. You can't help but feel like jealous as a third child or whatever. And CSGO is also popping off, you know,
in
many aspects. So all those combined just makes me feel that they're not being honest with me as a parent, kind of, you know, if it's a child parent situation, but it's more like employee, employer, or whatever you want to call it. You know, I'm not employed by Valve, but
No. But you're like,
sure does feel like I'm relying on them.
Yeah. I mean, we all are, I guess. No, I mean, I feel this quite similar, I guess. The only thing that I took from it that might have been a positive is, like, I know for years people have been talking about trying to spread the prize pool from TI throughout the year. And it sounds like maybe there's some possibility that that might happen, if I didn't misunderstand the blog, where, like, instead of only releasing content for TI, you'll release content around other periods of the year. And maybe that, you know, makes the majors kind of more relevant again or something like that, hopefully. But not sure. But that's, like, the only real positive I see potentially coming out of it, where you would get, like, more competitiveness throughout the year instead of only TI.
Yeah, I mean, it's been the forever talk, right? And they kind of nailed stuff with the first 2 years of majors, I feel like. I mean, not just because I won, but I feel
I think everyone feels that way. Yeah.
Perspective, too. It was like, it was super hype tournaments. As a player, it was amazing. I think as a spectator, they were almost all very good. I don't know about Boston for sure. Shanghai, I have my doubts. But yeah. So I wish I would do something similar to this.
Yeah.
And if they would just do this and successfully and make a plan for continuing, like, in 3 years ahead, it would do so much good for the scene. It would be crazy. It would be doing so much good for the scene, you know?
Yeah.
Incredible that you know, Liquid stuck through Dota and stuck with it. But as a, as an esport, it's not the easiest, you know? It's really not the easiest to get into because sponsors your main revenue and it's so unstable and stuff. I mean, now there's DPC, so it's like a little more stable, but you still don't own anything, you know? And Europe is so fucking tough to be in. It's such a risky thing to be in, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Europe is really, really tough. I don't know. Do you feel like it used to be this competitive back when you guys played, like in The Secret? I mean, now Nigma, Liquid years?
No, not at all. Like in Europe, you used to have maybe four good teams, but only two to three of them were playing really well. You know, at given times, kind of thing. Now it feels like everybody's out to get you. Dota has been simplified a lot. It's harder to out-strategize in some aspects. Like, it's a lot about also player comfort and comfort picks, as in there are some things you really do want to spam and repeat, I feel like, more so now. Also, yeah, just the flow. I feel like back in the day you could surprise people and do like last two picks or last pick with much more options. Strategies were easier to execute. And now if you don't execute certain things throughout the laning phase in the first 5 to 10 minutes, you're likely to just lose. It's very snowball heavy if it goes bad from the beginning. Dota can still look and be very fun also to play, I think, if the start is even. But yeah, it's so competitive, dude.
Yeah, I
have to say, it's so competitive now compared to what it used to be.
Yeah.
In Europe, I still think on the world scale, like, it was very hard. But now I think, yeah, so much pressure lies in the teams that understand Dota, but especially the early part of it. And Europe is champ, you know,
yeah.
West and East. Yeah.
I mean, I do think, like, when it comes to the different regions, it's probably like the biggest edge you have in Europe. It's just leaning phase slash like the first things that come out of it. Yeah. I think Europe is just a little bit ahead. Because I think, like, when it comes to mid-game stuff, I don't know if I necessarily would agree that, like, Europe is always the best, but it's really, the early game just sets you up to kind of be able to almost skip that part of the game. Whereas when you watch, like, some Chinese teams play against each other or, like, yeah, these other teams compete, it's like their mid-games are, there's actually so much more depth to it than whatever we do.
Yeah. No, it's true. I think, yeah, this Dota is still probably a lot to be explored in the mid to late.
Yeah.
I think if people get more even in the early game, that's when you'll also see like different faces of the game, you know, different things they can offer. But yeah, how do you feel it's been for you guys overall, Dota this year?
I mean, it's been very, I think ever since last TI, like something happened during the LCQ for us where like, things just kind of clicked. Mato deserves a lot of credit because I think it was a lot thanks to him and the type of player and person that he is. And he kind of like found a way to make our team work. But yeah, ever since then, like I think Dota has been quite nice to us. It just feels like every patch is our patch. It feels like we can adapt to whatever comes. And I mean, it's been really, really fun and exciting because I think because we stuck together for so long and we didn't really see any like progress or success, I guess. Like you saw progress sometimes, some like slight bits of success, but never to like this degree. So it's been really cool because knowing that like, you know, we gambled on each other, basically. Like me, Boxy, and Mickey, we were like, you know, we can do this. We're good enough. And I feel like this year it's really kind of proven it to all three of us. And it's really nice to have gone through like this journey together over all these years. And then, like, finally also seeing the result of it.
Does it feel like an illusion to you? The idea that you were maybe not good enough at some point? Like, you say that you gamble on yourself, you know, but that means maybe you look at other people as being the ones who can do it, but you're not sure about yourself. Like, when do you realize that you are good enough? And
I think
how do you describe it? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone carries doubt, especially after losses. I think you like to tap into that and like really, you know, dig yourself a hole. But I think ultimately I've always kind of just never like overthought it, I guess. Like even though, you know, you can look at things and be like, yeah, I'm bad at this or this guy's better at that. I kind of like always just thought like if I try really hard and if I always keep trying, eventually I'll figure it out. There's nothing like that I won't be able to do if I don't really, really apply myself. And I think also being like around people that I guess help you see that and help you accomplish that, I think it's like always been something I've prioritized in my teammates where like I want people that help you push to be better and help you to, you know, solve issues that you might run into, whether it's like individual or on a team level. I think that's kind of been like a priority for me. And it's like one of the big reasons why I've really liked playing with both Boxy and Mickey for so long. It's like, it feels like I can learn from them and they can learn from me and we can like help each other grow, which also helps you like overcome the doubt, I guess.
Yeah. Overcome the doubt. But I think the doubt, yeah, it's all on us, right? It's all what we create for ourselves more so. You can have people who are completely confident in you and then you can be on the inside shitting on yourself, you know, telling yourself you're not good enough. You can't do this, blah, blah, blah. You've never done it before. Well, that's the problem. Nothing always was, right? Like stars weren't always stars. Stars are made, you know, they're forged. Yeah. So that's the thing. Like they always had the potential to be stars.
Mm-hmm.
And same for us, you know, we always had the potential to be that good and to be the best and to bring it out. But quite often people stop themselves, cut themselves short from that illusion that I'm not good enough. I can't do it.
I mean, I think I would say every single competitor has that inside of them.
Of course.
And I do think, I know we talked about this as well after TI, like having that one really good run, it helps you overcome it a lot too. I think like the first really nice tournament run also gives you some sort of like confidence. You know, if you've done it once, you can do it again.
It should.
Yeah.
It should, right? Like, now you have proof, right? Like, what you're saying, what we're saying is like, you haven't done it before, or you're looking for people who've done something before. Well, it's like, yeah, I got the diploma, you know, I know how to do this. Yeah. But at the same time, I still think when you go back to the first time you win, you still have to understand that that's an illusion. Or like for me, it was like, that's an illusion. I had to understand that's an illusion, because on that day when we played, we were that good, nobody could beat us. And that was the real shit, you know? Like, that diploma just came afterwards. Yeah. But it was the playing that actually was what won, you know? Mm. So that moment when you're playing well, when you're doing all these things, that's when nobody can, or maybe somebody can stop you, but if nobody will, then you go to the end, right?
Yeah.
And that whole thing about telling yourself, I don't know what I'm doing. This guy knows better than me. I should be copying him.
Mm.
Or what you're saying, like every competitor has this doubt. Well, I think when you finally shake that off, when you finally manage to live with yourself without any doubt, without any fear, that's when you can finally, you know, perform. And
yeah,
I don't know. It really helped. It was really as in therapeutic for me to lose that many TIs and then win also one. Like I can definitely, like, the same thing, I guess, winning the first major for me, like winning the first major thing in Dota, it's very therapeutic, because yeah, for a long time, I was telling myself, like, most days I was telling myself, holy shit, you know, I don't have it. It will never work. Han was a scam.
Yeah.
Everybody was so bad there or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
No. But then you win one thing, you're like, oh, okay. Yeah. But still, then at least for me, I couldn't stop fooling myself. Like, throughout my career, I kept doubting myself, even though you win. But that's...
I think maybe, yeah. I don't know, maybe I'm like dumb enough, you know, like I just don't, like I've never really thought about it too much. Unless like after losses, I think it's like primarily been when like, you know, you want to make yourself feel bad. I feel like it's a kind of like some sort of a twisted way of like, I don't know, processing the loss is like, I got to make myself feel terrible so I never want to end up being here again. So you like build it up in your own mind and stuff. But
yeah,
I think, no, but I mean, for sure, like I can see it in our team. Like ever since TI, this ultimate doubt of like, because even now, like we're not really playing well, but I don't think anyone is worried, you know, on like a bigger scale. Like, are we going to be good by the time, you know, Riyadh comes around the corner or these like major events come around? And I think everyone is very, very confident in that we will be good again. And I think like our dip in performance right now, it's like slightly tied to maybe some burnout throughout the year. And then, you know, wanting to take a break, kind of realizing that the third DPC is maybe not the biggest deal for us. And, you know, as long as we make it to the major, we're quite happy with that. Was kind of the goal, unlike all the other ones where it's like, we really got to secure the points. We really got to get ourselves to TI. So yeah, I mean, I feel like we're very confident still, even though like maybe currently performance hasn't been great.
Yeah, well, Dota is hard, you know?
Yeah.
That's how it goes. Like even though you feel like you're not slacking, then everybody's always out to take you down, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're not in your 150 every day, then especially in Europe, baby. Man, imagine if four Europe teams just moved to NA, how it would look like.
Would be kind of nice, I feel like. I know.
It'd be nice to be in Europe again, yeah.
Dude, I don't know where I heard this, but I heard someone talking about this. But imagine like you're in Div 2 Europe, right? And you just move entire Div 2 Europe to NA. And like now you have a pub scene, you have like, you know, a lot of competitive teams. And I think like probably the best way to like revitalize NA would be to like straight up import like half the European scene there.
Uh-huh.
And like
I can see it. Yeah.
Like let's take Nygma, Secret, just move them to NA. Make it exciting for all of us.
I can see it. Yeah. Back with Dendi. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kuro, Buffy, Dendi, all together again.
Nice. We'll take OG too, dude. Send Sub as
well. Yeah, get them all over.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to hear that you guys are feeling you know, feeling good about the long term. I think it's very important. It really sucks when teams are still in this day and age, go through, I don't know, shit that we used to go through as in, yeah. I don't know if you know what I mean, but like this constant worry, this constant, not talking to each other, not feeling at home with each other type of thing, you know? I feel Dota has been much more mature
Yeah. I mean, I think, I don't know if it's necessarily true, but I feel like the player base is also just getting older, right? And like people,
yeah, I think, I mean,
people have been around for such a long time. Yeah. And then I also feel like in the past, you know, maybe we didn't see each other as much throughout the year. Nowadays, like, I feel like I meet these guys all the fucking time. You get kind of tired of each other rather than like the opposite issue. It's like you hear too much from each other rather than too little.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's less worry about like, you know, what is this guy saying behind my back and stuff like this. I feel like at least for me nowadays, it doesn't really exist, but it might just be us and having played together for so long. Not sure.
Yeah. Or Bulba, somebody just strapped Bulba up, you know, like put a mouthpiece on him. Yeah. He was, I don't know if he'll ever stop doing his thing.
I think him and, I mean, even my coach, they enjoy, they enjoy talking.
Fiend or two.
Yeah, for sure.
Fiend session or two.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah. So speaking of Dota and you guys now, like where did your Dota journey start? If you could tell.
Dota?
For the people that don't know. Yeah, and maybe go even back slightly before.
Sure. Right,
let's just take the years you played Han. Like, how many was it?
So I originally started in Han. I played for, I don't even know. It was kind of weird because I kind of stumbled into Han. I didn't really play Dota 1 like as much as most people, I think.
How do you stumble into Han?
Yeah, so one of my classmates was like, I want to learn to play Dota when I was in high school. And I was like, okay, yeah, sure, I can teach you. I used to play Dota. And like, my extent of playing Dota at the time was like, we would play like Venomancer and Axe, and we would 2v2 mid. Like, that was it. Like, I played 2v2 mid, and we thought, like, if I put the Axe dot on him and Venom slows him, like, they're just dead. What can they do? Like, it's unbeatable.
Combo.
Yeah, aimbot combo. And combo. Just played on Battle.net, you know? Like, that was the extent of my Dota knowledge. I was like, yeah, I'll teach you, no worries. Like, I'm great, you know? Didn't even realize, like, a lot of the stuff kind of like, I mean, I'd seen it on YouTube, but I didn't realize, like, to what extent, how good people really were. Mm-hmm. So we started playing some Han, and we played on we played Dota on Battle.net, and like it just, you know, it wasn't nice. So I heard about this like Han free beta key, whatever giveaway, and we signed up for it, and we both got keys. And then I started playing Han. I think you were on Influx, I remember. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, but around that time, whenever that was, I think 2010, maybe 9. I don't know. And then, about like a year and a half later, I was like on a team. We were called Black Fade. We went to DreamHack, you know, got to play like a tournament, and it was crazy. It was like the most fun I'd ever had playing video games. ever since then, it's been like kind of, you know, I've been in esports since like what, 2011, maybe something like that.
What was your first salary? Do you remember?
Like $100.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Nothing. Like pennies. I mean,
good stuff. Good old days.
I know back then we used to play this thing called UNGL, and I think first place was like you got a mouse, keyboard, and a headset, and second place was like you get one of the three, and then third place is like you get a mouse pad, and that was it. You know, that was like the peak of the week. You could play the UNGL cups. Yeah.
Yeah, we had this one hunt tournament. It was $10,000, which was like big, big bucks, and one headset.
Yeah.
Only one headset as well, you know? I remember who got it, but yeah, it was always fun.
Yeah, but that's what it was at
mouse
the
pads.
Time.
Everybody was giving mouse pads. Like, that was a currency.
Yeah. So, Han Trash originally, and then, I mean, I stuck with Han for a long time. I thought it was really fun. To be honest, more than anything, I never really thought of it as like, this is going to be my career or this is going to be what I work as. I was always quite like academically inclined. Like that was the direction I was going to go. But then, I don't know, somewhere around like the, you know, because Han truly died when I think like you guys were the first generation to leave, like you, Peter, all them. And then like when Kyle and them left, I think there was like no scene. The game was essentially dead. If you'd been playing for a long time, you were just kind of collecting paychecks. You barely had to play the game even. After that, I felt like, you know, it became quite unsatisfying. I think I played like a year and a half of that. And then it was just like, there was just no motivation.
You just beat everybody for a year and a half.
Yeah, but I don't know how to explain it. It's like, it just didn't feel real. Because like, I didn't feel like I earned it.
Who were your opponents? Were there any names?
I don't know if there's any people you know.
B-Kid or anybody? Were they still playing?
No. They all left with you. Okay. I mean, I don't think there's any players you would know, but maybe our main competition was like Thailand. So like the old like MRR, like Cheetahwan, Punk Pang. I don't know if these names ring any bells for you.
No.
But the old Thai scene from that like just wasn't that good at the time. They became like the main competition, I guess. But yeah, no, I mean, Han, it got like, it just, yeah, it didn't really feel like you earned it. Because it felt like everyone that was better than you just left. So now you were the best, but you hadn't like achieved it on your own. It was just like, you know, whoever's better than you left and did something else. So now you're the best.
I see.
Yeah. So I felt like after about a year and a half of that, it just wasn't that satisfying. So it kind of was like, make a choice of, do I want to become good at Dota or do I, you know, put gaming aside and go study? And yeah, I chose like, you know what, I feel like, you know, I want to gamble on Dora. I think I can do it. And to be honest, it was like,
well, gamble if you're good, bro.
No, I mean, you don't know at the time, right? You're just gambling. Like, I feel like at that time you're taking a gambling on yourself.
Oh, well, depends. I think it depends.
Yeah. I mean, in my mind, at least it's like, do I think I can do it? And the answer for me was quite quickly, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So you were confident.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, stupidly so. Like, you know, it's like the not realizing how high the mountain is. You know, I only saw the first hill.
Yeah. No, we had the exact same beginning.
Yeah. So, and then, yeah, moved to Dota, struggle, played a lot of Pro Dota Cups, and, you know, had a lot of, what's really cool, I feel like I really got the chance to play with a lot of people in Dota, and, like, you really, I feel like it helped me a lot. I know I played with, like, Kai, Honey, Trixie for a while, and like seeing their dynamic was like a peak. I don't know how.
Uh-huh.
It's one of the things I really missed the most was like I got to spend like a month on NIP with them, and like how Kai would just go on a rant. He would talk for like an hour, you know, like he's just talking about this, that, and at the end of it, Kale just says, "That's not how Dota works, my friend," and that's it. He just gets one line back, and I can just feel, you know, like the mold coming from Honey on the other side of the microphone. He's just like,
Yeah, good times. Did you ever see them on the dance floor together?
No, I unfortunately didn't really get to see them live.
Oh, that was funny.
Yeah.
Oh, that was funny, dude. They're good guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, in Dota is very complicated. We're different.
Mm.
Sometimes also people have different personalities, right? As soon as they sit down and play, or as soon as it becomes about Dota, they have a completely different character.
Yeah. No, but I feel like I got to play with a lot of people throughout like the first 2 years. Which I think really helped. Like, I can't remember names right now, but there were just a lot of people that I feel like really helped, you know, push me forward and, you know, help me get to where I am today. And I think, like, I'm really thankful to those opportunities. I think, like, quite lucky. And again, my gamble worked out in that regard to get to where I am.
Okay. Yeah. And wait, how long have you played Dota then in total?
I think we switched 2016. So
before or after TI6?
I think before TI6, but in that year. Uh-huh. The year Wings won was like the year we fully switched. Because I know a main motivating factor to switching also was we saw Peter win TI. And it was like, you know, if Peter can do it, then fuck it, so can we.
If Peter can do it. Oh my God.
Obviously, like, no offense to Peter or anything, but it's just because we competed a lot in home. Like, after you guys left, because, I mean, if I'm being real, like, I was never really competitive when you guys were at the peak in Fnatic. So we competed a lot against Peter. So it felt more close, more, you know, same level. So seeing him do it was also probably a pretty big, like, contributing factor in why, you know, there was a degree of confidence switching over.
Yeah. No, but I would say also looking at Alliance, I think was also for me the same feeling, you know, seeing Alliance win, even though we lost at that TI and we felt how hard it could be and how hard Europe was and stuff. It was still motivating to see Europe winning and people you've played against previously and beat also be the ones to win because it gives you that, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I beat them before, you know, we've beat each other before and stuff. Like we've been on the same level. So if they can do it, what stops me?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So 2016, and now we're in 2023.
That's crazy.
Yeah, just like that, 7 years later.
Yep.
And now you qualify for TI and looking to be maybe one of the favorites. So
I don't know about favorites. We're trying to stay on the down low, dude. I think Gladiators are the favorites. Yeah.
Gladiators are definitely the team to beat. Yeah. But I'll say if you underestimate Liquid or also LGD, you're a fool, you'd be a fool. But I know how that works. Oh my god. No. I mean, at TI, you can't underestimate anybody, I guess. Like that's the whole thing.
Yeah, Everybody's
out to get you.
Really? I mean, I think last TI I probably played like every game you played. I mean, I remember our Thunder series. It's like that was probably the most hype I've ever felt in a Dota game my entire life. I mean, I know Mato even said like winning TI7 didn't beat this. You know, like this game was, or this series was unbelievable. The emotions after was better than TI7 win. So there's no team that's like you can underestimate. I mean, I remember every single series we played after the group stage was like such a fucking like, you know, like every team you play is so hard to play against. Everyone's like in their best form, trying their best. You know, there's no like giving up halfway through or like someone's like, it's not an online tournament really where like sometimes teams just GG after losing a fight or.
Yeah, which hopefully won't happen at this TI.
No, I hope not. At least for this year, you know, the prestige of TI will, I think, still carry some weight, even if the prize pool isn't there to back it up, I think.
Yeah, and back in Seattle and stuff, like, I hope it'll be still a Dota festival, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you get a chance to go to Seattle? You only went to...
My first one was Shanghai, so no.
Yeah, you went to Shanghai. Yeah. So back in the day when we used to go, it was Seattle for 2013. I also think they went 2012 and then 14, 15, 16 as well. Yeah. So it's a nice place. It's super nice tournament. Or like the Key Arena area was like super cool experience because they also had a venue outside with TV monitors and there was like a market further down where you could just walk around. So it really felt lively, festival-y.
Yeah.
Like a gaming festival. So I'm reminiscing. I'm hoping for the same.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. Everyone seems to speak so highly about Seattle. So it's going to be fun.
Should be good.
Yeah.
Good food as well. And what else is on the Dota menu? We got Bali Major. How do you feel?
I mean,
well, Bali, have you been?
I have not been. Very excited to go. I mean, initially we were thinking about it as a vacation major, but
that's a good one. Then.
Yeah, right. But then exactly. But unfortunately, you know, Riyadh is like a week later. We kind of realized, so you know, big deal. So now Bali major turned into like bootcamp major. Yeah, exactly. So it was no more vacation major. But it would have been very, very nice vacation.
Ah, damn. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So no, now it's like, you know, grind and hopefully, you know, being in Bali and having some nice relaxing things to do in between will make it less stressful, especially with pubs. I think sometimes bring out the worst in you. So having something to switch off to will be probably very nice.
Are you a hot weather or cold weather type of guy?
I mean, hot weather... Yeah, hot weather for sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What about humid or dry?
Dry? No doubt. Yeah, okay. I actually, humid, that's the one thing that I always struggle with when I'm in SCA. I get so sweaty. I feel like I don't know. My genetics were not made for this. I'm just like water.
I think, we are just water. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
We are just water anyway. I don't know. I kind of like it. I like both.
Yeah?
I like the dry and the humid. Yeah.
No,
I used to hate it, but it also depends on a lot on what clothes you have to wear. Like, I can't imagine being the guy wearing a suit, like a full suit, walking down the street in some Manila or Singapore or something. I can't believe it, you know?
Yeah.
Oh. Well. I say I hope to see you there, but sadly, I won't make it out to Bali this time.
Okay.
Yeah, but maybe next time. Well, no OG at Bali either, but there will be OG after show. So
I see.
That's going to be nice. Yeah.
Nice. Something similar to Berlin or?
Yeah, we're trying to replicate some of the nice things in Berlin and just provide also, I think, like a nice round off on the days, on the payoff days. And yeah, maybe throw another great party.
Yeah, Berlin was great. It was great. It was really, really nice.
Pizza party.
Yeah, I got offered some pizza slices. Luckily, not from my teammates. So.
So it should still be good. I wish to one day go to Bali so bad, but yeah. Not this time around. Let's see. I don't know if I'll be in Riyadh either. That's also very hot.
Yep.
Especially this time of year.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, what is it now? I think it must be close to 40.
I mean, you were there last time, right? You were casting? Or no? It was a Seb? Were you both
was
there?
Was it Riyadh? I was in Dubai.
Ah, okay. No, it was Seb in Riyadh. Yeah, it was so hot. I saw so many things I've never seen before in my life. Like, they have these, like, kind of like
44
fans.
Right now. 44. Wonderful. Oh, my God. Oh.
I mean, yeah, I was telling you, like, our time with Anna there, like, we just would wake up at, like, 4 p.m. because, like, you just did not want to exist during the day. Like, you know, at, like, 4 a.m. is, like, peak weather. That's when you can go outside and you don't overheat.
God.
Yeah. It's crazy hot. Crazy, crazy, crazy hot.
I can't believe people move there. That's too crazy for me.
Yeah.
And spend the summer there, like, oh my God.
Very hot.
Muitos hotas. I'm learning Portuguese.
Nice.
That was not actual Portuguese.
No.
I forgot the second word. Frito is cold. Do you speak any third languages?
I mean, my parents are from Iran, so I speak Persian.
Yeah? Okay.
English and Swedish. So I've been like trilingual since I was like 6.
Any plans on picking up more?
I mean, so I had German for like 9 years and I feel like I understand most German actually, but
oh yeah,
it's quite rusty. So speaking it is so, but you know, when the Germans try to talk, like when Jabs and back when Koika was on our team, they would try to talk to each other, you know, the sneaky talks, I would pick up on most of it. And yeah, so my German is like, I'd say decent, but not quite fluent. Yeah. I mean, I would love to. I think language is really, really fun.
You're actually a linguistic, like lingual, or like you're good with grammar, you're good with languages and so on.
I don't know what's so good with grammar, but I think I pick up language quite easily, naturally. Like if I'm in an environment, I tend to like pick up a bunch of words. I feel like I'm half fluent in Russian by now. mostly insults in Dora. Just,
yeah.
You know, when they get repeated to you enough times, I feel like they kind
of... Of course.
You can learn them.
I know. I speak a lot of... So really do like Ukrainian, Russian, like... Yeah.
Nice. It's one of the many things Dora gifts to you for free. You didn't even know you wanted to learn it.
Didn't pay for this.
No, exactly.
Didn't pay for these classes.
It came for free.
you're saying that you were actually headed down an academic route earlier.
Mm.
And if it wasn't for Dora, you would have continued. What would that have led to, you think?
Most likely, because my parents are Persian. So there's three options normally if you're from a Persian family.
Prince?
It's it's doctor, it's lawyer, or you're an engineer. You know, that's the options you have.
Kind
of jokingly, of course, but that's kind of like, I come from a pretty academic family. Like both my parents are, you know, they're PhDs. We have a lot of like doctors in our family and stuff. So I probably would have gone to law school, become a lawyer, was like the path, I think.
Do you like law?
I mean, no. I'm glad I didn't go. I'm glad I didn't go. But that's probably...
Oh my God.
Because that was like what I had in mind when I was 19. You know that.
Why not a doctor? Why law over you know working with them?
I mean, I didn't have the grades to become a doctor, so I would have to like you know push them up a bit. So.
Uh-huh.
Plus, I hate needles, and I feel like if I'm
a
doctor, I really hate needles. Like, we were in Singapore for some event, and it was like, my team did. I didn't know we had to take a blood test. Because it was like during peak COVID and they wanted to do a blood test. And I was like, guys, I want to go home. Like, I fuck this event. You know, like, I just want to go home. And if there weren't like a team around me and if it was just me, you know, I was playing like some StarCraft or something, I would have just gone home. Because I freaking hate needles. That's like.
Really?
Yeah, that bad. That bad. Yeah.
Even if you don't look at it when it drop blood, is the fixture on?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why. It's really weird because it's not like I have had a bad experience or anything. Maybe like in a previous life, someone needled me to death. Like, I don't know.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But it's quite traumatic and it's quite bad. So yeah, the doctor one is GG.
I see. I mean, similar thing for me. I could never be a doctor, I think. Like, yeah. Looking at other people's blood. Oof.
But my sister's becoming one. So, you know, my parents are happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be the DJ and then they get a doctor in the family. So, you know, it's good.
Oh my God. You're kind of an engineer. Come on now.
Yeah, sure.
You can play engineer. You can go back to home, play some engineer.
My parents are quite understanding about my career choice, to be honest. My mom even this year started practicing Sandora. She likes to play Mars.
For real?
Yeah. She likes to play Mars in demo mode, just last hitting creeps. And she'll like send me pictures like, oh, I got like 40 CS in 10 minutes now. And I'm like, good job, mom. I'm proud of you.
Nice. That's cool.
Yeah.
I don't think my parents ever played.
No.
But they like to watch. They try to watch. My dad, I think, kind of gets the game, but...
Mm.
I think my mom never got over like the kill score, you know?
Yeah, I see.
Like the kill score still is the holy grail.
Mm.
Yeah. 12-7, you're losing.
My parents mostly look at the gold lead, I think. That's like the main thing. And then they've learned to realize that, you know, the carry's farm on the side. If he's at the top, it's a good thing. I think these are like the main two things they look for.
Go, Mika. Go.
Yeah, exactly. Big Mickey
fans.
Big Mickey fans.
Big Mickey fans.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's it for this time. Thanks for speaking to me, Aiden. It was nice to get to know you more and get your thoughts, pick your brain.
Yeah, likewise. Always fun to talk to you.
Yeah, and I hope no more server issues for you. Shopify can get a few more. I don't mind. Just kidding.
Yeah.
All the best to both of you. It's fun, right, to have two teams at Bootcamp. Do you guys then eat together and stuff as well?
Yeah, it's been actually really nice having them here. All from like, you know, going out and, you know, we played volleyball against each other, you know, it's kind of fun. And then just seeing them here and having like other people around and like just getting, I mean, initially it was really weird. You know, you see Shopify here, it's like, what's going on? You know, like this is our home.
We live here.
But no, it's just nice to have Dota players around. You know, a lot of things are quite shared interests and degeneracy.
Degeneracy together.
Yeah. More company at night. Yeah, exactly.
Breakfast at two, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you, Aiden.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. It was nice being here.